Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the latest episode of This Is Why We Stand. I am your host, Joe Arcino, and I'm very, very honored to have once again for this Veterans Day edition, especially my good friend, John Fratangelo. John, it has been a couple months since I got to have you on the air. Still one of the most memorable interviews I've ever done. So, my friend, it is a real honor to have you here for this special Veterans Day episode.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's such a pleasure to be on with you. I mean, you've become such a good friend of mine. I really appreciate everything you do for all the veterans.
Well, to me, that's one of the most special things about doing this is, you know, you meet people like yourself and you become friends. You form these relationships, and, you know, I never take them for granted. I'm proud to be able to tell people that I can call John Fratangelo a friend, and your story is just absolutely incredible. For anyone who missed the first interview, John is a Vietnam War veteran, Silver Star recipient, recently the author of The Last Goodbye, and we really delved very deep into his book on the first interview. And big news recently, John, which we didn't get to talk about on the last one, is the documentary which came out about your book. Maybe for anyone who missed that first interview, maybe you could just talk about the motivation behind your book, what the meaning behind it is, and then what it was like to see it kind of come into a new life in terms of a documentary.
Yeah, right. Well, the David Kaltenbach was the producer of the documentary, and he had gotten one of my books to this guy called Carl Van Nevius III. I'm sorry, who was part of Code Media 88, and he's helping me so much. He's got such confidence in this book that they're really trying to really promote it to be a you know, motion picture or a TV series, you know. And Carl Van Nevius had given the book to, he told me to send David Kaltenbach a copy of the book, which I did. And when he read it, he said, he's just amazing. He's just flabbergasted by it. And he wanted to do this documentary. And that's what he did. He came up to the house with one of those drones and a camera. And it was great. It was great. Did a great job. You know, first was a 2-minute preview of it. And then it went into a 32-minute. And I have some of my friends, Vietnam friends, and some of the guys with me and relatives who are speaking on it. Actually, it's 13. And even with my wife, Judy. And if you watch the documentary, I guarantee you're going to cry when you see her speak, because she was fantastic. But when he read the book and saw the storyline of why I wrote this book, and because of my cousin who was killed, you know, and who came to me in a vision, I wouldn't even call it a vision. It was more like an apparition. It was real, you know, and he couldn't leave this world without saying goodbye to me. And he shook my hand and just turned around, vanished, you know. And I said that back way back then, I said, one of these days, I have to tell this story, because I want everybody to know that Tony existed, my friends existed, that they were here one time, living beings like you and I, you know, walking this earth, doing everything we do, but they got cut short at 19 years, 20 years old. And so when he read the book, he was just amazed by the storyline, and everybody who reads it, you know, comes back with me with great, you know, comments, you know, and get 5-star reviews. And I was most worried about veterans, especially Vietnam veterans, because I figured they could be the most critical. And I said, man, that's why I said in the beginning of the book that this is my story. You guys got stories of your own to tell. But they call me up and they say, John, thank you for writing this book, man, you know, so. That was good. That was really good. So far, I have not gotten one, knock on wood, negative response to this book at all. Everybody just loves it, you know. So very happy I did it, you know.
And rightfully so. And I think there's so much to love about the book. And I think more than anything, it's the authenticity. It really is so authentic. You know, you really provide such a great, like, intimate, in-depth view of your relationship with your family, the struggles, everything, the details, big and small, of deploying in Vietnam, every detail. And I think, you know, that really is the gift of a skilled writer, is, you know, when you can really bring your life into and make it real for the reader. And that's one of the things you do so well, and I think so many other people feel it. But just to go back to the documentary for a minute, and I do think that was, I mean, it was incredibly well done. And like you said, I mean, if you watch that and you don't shed a tear, I don't know, because I don't think most people can. It's, again, it's, you just have all these different people adding in their thoughts to it, and especially your wife, and just the way, I think she said it so well, you know, about people like yourself. You were kids when you went over to Vietnam. You had your whole lives ahead of you, but you answered the call and you went and you fought the good fight. And especially for your cousin, who we know is so important to this book, and the meaning behind and his sacrifice, and the way you pay tribute to him. I mean, I think for Veterans Day especially, it really makes you just have to show so much gratitude to people like yourself. Because again, so you were, what, 19 years old when you went over to Vietnam?
Right. Right. Yes, 19. Yeah.
19 years old. And I think your wife, I mean, when I just, the way you could see the emotion in her voice talking about that, I hope that no one takes that for granted, because if anything, we have so much to be grateful for in this country. And for people like yourself and all your buddies who were out there with you fighting the good fight, we can never say thank you to any of you enough.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Joe. Yes, I really appreciate it. I mean, all us veterans, especially now the Vietnam veterans, after what we went through, not being recognized and appreciated, you know, and finally it's come to light, you know, with everybody getting hands shaking and telling us thank you for your service. It means so much. It really does mean so much to us, you know, because most of us, like, I didn't say, I never spoke about this at all to anybody. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, I got the Silver Star. Nobody ever knew I got the Silver Star. I never told anybody about that, you know, and until I came to the house and they seen it hanging on the wall or something like that. But other than that, I never mentioned it at all, because it didn't matter to me. It was just a medal, you know, it had no meaning to me at all, you know. I mean, I didn't go there expecting to be awarded any kind of medal. I just went there to do my year and come back home, you know. So it just happened to be in a circumstance that whatever I did, they figured I deserved a medal, which I never thought about, you know. But the veterans, we're so, I mean, it brought us out of a black hole that we were sucked into for all these years, you know. And it was like God, you know, reaching down into this black hole in the form of the public, you know, and just bringing us back up by our hands and saying, thank you, you know, you are really appreciated now that, you know, what real youth went through. And this book, that's what I wanted to bring out in the book, to what a veteran goes through, whether it be a man or a woman, you know, that people don't know about, you know, all the other aspects of being a combat veteran that people don't even understand, because it's not only being shot at or, you know, mortared, or, you know, it's the other elements, you know, the friendly fire that's a guy, you got Agent Orange that's still killing us, you know what I mean? Weather conditions. I had two friends who were, one was killed by drowning. I grew up with this kid. He was black American, and his name was Joe Majette, and we were close. I mean, I went to junior high school with him. I went to high school with him, and we went trained together in the Army, and we went over. We were in the same outfit, but he was in a big red one, but wasn't in my recon platoon. But I found out he drowned. I mean, he drowned, you know. And my other good friend from the Bronx, Marty Powers, we grew up together. He fell off a pole, you know, wiring it up for whatever he was doing. And he was a Marine. And, you know, it's things like that that people don't realize. And then the bugs and the insects and the weather conditions and the disease like malaria that can follow you through the rest of your life. You know, and people don't realize how many different ways guys die without getting shot. or blown up. You know, it's just combat is horrible. It's just there's no word like I said. There's no word in the dictionary that can describe the what a combat veteran goes through. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world because it's 24/7, and you always you're worrying about your life 24/7. If you're ever going to make it back home, you know, to see your loved ones, your wife, your mother, whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's just, and this is what I wanted to bring out in the book, you know, what a veteran really goes through, you know, every day.
So, I think it's so well said. And, you know, I think it's so, you know, again, when so many people in the public think of war or combat, you know, you do almost automatically think of just one thing, but like you said, it is so much more, especially in Vietnam. You know, it's the incredibly vast climate. Sometimes it could be pouring rain for endless amounts of time. And then it's the incredibly hot sun. You have the insects, things like Agent Orange insecticides. You have enemy torture things. I mean, bamboo sticks, all this type of stuff. You can never keep your guard down. And I think certainly, you know, I've been so honored to have been able to interview many Vietnam combat veterans. And I think like most, it's just, you never feel like you can let your guard down. It's just one of those things. It's a constant keeping your attention up, not only for yourself, but also for the guys around you.
Right. You know, when you fight in a war, like, let's say, you know, bring down any kind of combat is combat, no matter where you are. But in Vietnam, as opposed to like Afghanistan, you know, or Iraq, you know, you could actually almost see most of the time the guy shooting at you, you know, or if he's behind a wall or something, or in a house behind a door and a window or whatever, you know, you could actually say, oh, he's coming from there. That's where he is. We got to zoom in on that, right? But when you're in the jungle, I mean, these guys were below the ground, they were in the trees, they were in back of you, they were in front of you, they were on the side of you. You never knew where they were. And I'm going to say 75% of the time, whenever you got into a firefight, you didn't even see them. Because that's how thick the jungles were, and they were dug in. And even if you find whatever you want to call them, foxholes, or whatever, you know, their little cubby holes coming out of the ground, they can go anywhere in that country. I mean, they would fight over 100 years. So that whole, there's another country under a country there. So they can go anywhere. And it's just amazing. So you never know where your enemy is. And they mingle within you, you know. And like, for instance, if you're in your base camp, you could actually see the Vietnamese walking like they were pacing. You follow me? So they're counting their paces. Let's say if they come from the mess hall, to give an example, and they'll be pacing, all right, till they get to the gate, whatever. And that's where they zoom in on a mortar, or if they know where your ammo dump is. That this is all the things you got to watch out for, because they're right with you all in the daytime. Then at nighttime, they're putting a gun in their hands, or, you know, and just against you, you know, and you're talking to them in the daytime, you know. So it's just, it was a horrible war, man. You had to be alert 24/7, like I said, 24/7, you know. So,
you know, I really appreciate you shedding light on that, because I think, you know, I'll never forget when I interviewed a Korean War veteran, and like Vietnam, our Korean War veterans were forgotten for a long time and didn't get the proper due that they deserve. But, you know, he really made that distinction, and, you know, there's value in everyone who serves, but a combat veteran is a different breed. You know, so when you've been under fire with your comrades and you face those harsh elements in a combat scenario, there's just nothing like it. You know, a combat veteran is just a different breed of warrior. And, you know, that's why I appreciate your wisdom so much, because it's something for someone like me who's never been under fire, for so many around the country who haven't been. It's just something I think we have to try to understand and really show our appreciation to you for, because it's almost indescribable. But when you hear these stories, it really makes you, it has to make you appreciate those who've actually done that. because we are safe today because of people like you.
Thank you, Joe. You know, the thing, like another point I want to bring out is like when you're fighting, and you go into the service, like, all right, I'm here to the call from my country, okay, to do what they want me to do, and they train. You know, you go to the training, you know, and you know, going through Vietnam, you're going to go there for a year unless you get cut short for some reason. But when you're in battle, you know, the mindset of I'm fighting for my country isn't there. You know, you're fighting for your friends. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you're not charging an ammo dump. Or a machine gun nest, and thinking that, oh, I'm doing this for my country. No, that mindset isn't there. At least in my mind, it was. I'm doing this for my friends, okay, who I know are doing the same thing for me. You following? I don't know if you're getting my point.
No, I understand. I study military history too, and you know, to me, one of the most fascinating places in the world to study is Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, bloodiest battle of the Civil War, 51,000 casualties across 3 days. And when you look at that battlefield, and you know, people wonder, you know, how did soldiers march shoulder to shoulder at a wall of flaming cannon and rifle? And you know, when you try to explain it to them, it's because of the guy next to you, because he's going forward and so are you. You're not going to let him go alone. You're going to go forward, even though what you're going forward to is the most terrifying thing in the world and could kill you. Right. Your buddy's going, and so are you.
I know. It's just like on D-Day when the Army, the Marines, and hit the shores with those amphibious crafts. You know, when they knew when that door came down, man, they're like dead meat. Yeah, you know, it's just incredible how, you know, the bravery, my hat's off to them. And I tell you that had to be very, very frightening for those guys.
I mean, anyone who's seen the movie Saving Private Ryan, that opening 20 minutes of the assault on Omaha Beach. Yep. I mean, that really is such an incredible depiction. It's so accurate of how it actually happened. And I think it's a good segue for us, John, to talk about, you know, that bond you form with your comrades. This is obviously, you know, a centerpiece of our talk today is about Veterans Day. And I'm sure for you, for Veterans Day, one of the things that runs through your head the most is the buddies that you serve with, the guys who you were in the field with, who you formed lifelong friendships and relationships with.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know their laughter. I know their tears. I know their voices. I mean, if you don't see anybody for 50 years, you might not recognize their face, but I'll tell you what, you'll recognize their voice. That's like a fingerprint. You know, the voice never changes. Okay. So when I speak to my friends on the phone which I haven't seen in over 40, 50 years, I know their voice. And I visualize their face as I knew them back then. You know, it's amazing. It's so great. I mean, when we got together, you had to see us huddle and hug each other. It was just, I mean, I could cry just thinking about it. But and I miss the ones that we lost. I really do. I miss them a lot. It's, you know, especially after all these years getting together. I thought we were going to have, you know, maybe 20 years togetherness after this, you know, but so far, three of them are gone. And I'm still very, very close with Woody, Rahar, Smitty, and Delage. You know, we're in constant contact. And another one I just forgot to mention, Paul Charles, who's in Texas, who I recently got in contact with. And he knew another guy, Charlie House, who was there with us. But he reached, and I got a hold of his family, but I never got a hold of Charlie House. And Paul Charles, actually, he's the one who gave me the number. And Charlie House recently passed away of a heart attack. Okay, so we lost him too. So that's four. Okay, but I never spoke to Charlie House, and I wanted to talk to him so bad. but I never got to talk to him. And I had sent his ex-wife, I should say, a book, so she, you know, so she can read it. But and I sent one to his kids, but I don't know if they ever read it or not. But yeah, you know, it's just it's hurt. It hurts. It hurts real deep. It's a hurt that you can. It's like it's almost like you know, like almost like losing your mother or your father. You know, it's just a hurt that you can't explain. It cuts you deep, really deep. You know, and I miss him. I miss him really bad. You know,
that's to me again one of the. We go back to the book again. You know, The Last Goodbye. That's one of the most powerful things in it. I think is again you just it's the authenticity of the experience of bonding with your fellow comrades and. All the names you were just mentioning, you everyone who once you pick it up, if you haven't done so already, you really see how these individuals how they were in a part of John's life in Vietnam, and it's a soldier story. And at the end of the day, that's so important to tell. John, have any of I know one of the motivations for you to write this was, and you talk about that right at the beginning, is you know you want other people to go out there and tell their story. You've talked to me about. How what it meant to your own children when they got to see and kind of and learn more about the experiences you went through. Have any of the other of your other comrades, have they talked to you about maybe getting out there and following in your footsteps and putting pen to paper or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, there was one fellow, Gene Lang, who was in Vietnam after me, though. 68 was different times, 68, 69. This guy, he's done so much for the veterans. He's actually gotten, I think it's 36 counties in between Westchester and Putnam to recognize the county as being a Purple Heart County. So we're doing a show we started last week, a weekly show. It's called Cold Wind Talkers, okay, from Triple Vibes Radio. And he's going to be on it tomorrow. And he has a great story. Matter of fact, I want to make you contact him. He had to escape from Hungary at the age of 9 years old, and they had to go through minefields, and it's a great story. And I told him, Gene, and he wrote a bunch of notes like I had done with my book. And I said, Gene, you have to write this story because this is so interesting, you know, about a kid coming from Hungary on the communistic route and had to go through so much to get here and even lost members of his family in doing so. And then I end up going into the army years later. And, he got a Purple Heart. He had to wait 44 years to get his Purple Heart. Okay. 44 years. He finally got his Purple Heart, and which is ridiculous. Okay. But he's going to come on the show tomorrow. And, I want him to tell his story so people can know. And I want him to finish. And I tell Gene, finish this book, man, because people want to hear this, you know. So I'm hoping he does that. And I noticed, you know, some of my friends, they're opening up more than they used to open. Nobody wanted to say anything about anything, you know. But they're starting to open up because the story needs to be told. And everybody has their own little story to tell, you know what I mean? But that's what I want the veterans to do. Not only Vietnam veterans, you know. It's just people need to know what the veteran goes through.
They do, and I think that's such a great thing. You know how about your message, and I know I think I hope really for our veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, they follow suit as well because I think those guys really have so much to share too, and it's so recent what they went through. I think they have so much wisdom to offer, and I know you know it takes time. Like many guys who come back from war, whether it's been World War II, Korea, Vietnam, or beyond, it's not always easy to open up about that stuff. But I found in so many cases, people have told me, you know, it's almost therapeutic, you know, when you put pen to paper and you share your story, you relive, and then it makes you reach out to other people who you serve with, and then you reconnect with people. So it opens up a lot of doors. And it really is important. And I think, John, you know, you're one of those perfect examples. You're a great ambassador for that message. And I hope people continue to follow in that direction.
Yeah, what I try to do, too, is, I, you know, for the guys for the guys who have it hard to speak, I said, look, if you can't talk about it, then go in your room, take a pencil and paper, and write down your experiences. So people will know, because we're going to die, let's face it. No, we're not going to be here forever. All right. So people will know what you did, and leave behind your little legacy to your family. They have the right to know, and they really, I know they want to know. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. One of my friends around here that I'm very close with, his name is Pat Farley, and he read the book, and he said the very first page where I call legacy is one paragraph. You know, Joe, one I say the. This is my, what the book, you know, what if you're about to read this book is my story and the thousands of others who have their own story, I urge you to tell. When his brother was a Vietnam veteran and never spoke about it, okay? Now, his brother recently passed away. So he said, John, when I read that paragraph, I couldn't hold my tears back because I never knew what my brother went through. And by you saying that, it helped me so much to have closure about my brother. And when I read your book, I know what my brother went through. I said, now I understand, you know, and it meant so much to him. Just that first paragraph, you know, before he even got into the book, you know, and that's why I tell people, just write it down, man. You need to tell your story. I know it's hard for some people, but to write it down, you're not facing anybody. You know what I mean? Looking at you, you know, just do it and have it done, you know. I think it's very important. It needs to be told. I mean, once you're gone, you're gone. Nobody's ever going to find anything about you or whatever you went through. Like, everybody goes through so much in life. I mean, you get knocked down. You know, I always tell my kids, you know, life is like a boxing match that never ends. And you just keep getting knocked down, and you get up, and until finally the final blow comes, you know. But in between the knocking down and the final blow, you get back up again and you live. And you got to tell what your life was through before you get that final knockout. And it's very important to everybody and to yourself. Because these veterans are, like I keep saying, they're in a dark place and they're kind of afraid to come out of it. And I don't know why. But why go to drinking and drugs and suicide? That's another thing. There's so many veterans committing suicide. If they would only talk to people and write down their what's bothering them. I mean, like, even if you say, look, I saw this guy get killed this day, such and such a day. I saw his leg get blown off. I saw this, whatever. You know, write it down because it'll help you. It might be very hard and difficult at first, you know, but it will help you to life. Like I said, life's a box. You're going to deal. People get mangled in car accidents. You know what I'm saying? And it's a part of life, and it should be told. I mean, when somebody gets in a bad car accident or a multiple car accident, it's in the papers. They talk about it. You follow what I'm saying? You know, if a president, you know, like Kennedy was assassinated, if nobody would know nothing if they didn't talk about it. They wrote about it. You know, it's got to be told, Joey. It's got to be told.
You say it so well, and I think I want to build on that and really emphasize. You know, I have another dear friend, Thomas Georgie. I've told you about him before. Another Army Vietnam veteran, Silver Star recipient like yourself. He was wounded in battle, and it was the action that actually ultimately led to him receiving the Silver Star. And I'll never forget when he told me when he was in the hospital, finally got shipped back to the States recovering. And, you know, when he started to tell his family about what was happening, his mom tried to stop him because, you know, she didn't want him to, you know, get upset or anything like that. She was worried about him. And he said, you know, I have to talk about it. If I let this all bottle up, it's just going to destroy me. And right. He said how much it helped him being able to talk with people he trusted about what he went through. And he told me that's, he thinks one of the issues that a lot of veterans deal with is, you know, they try to bottle that stuff up and instead of putting it out there and talking about it, they just try to tuck it away and hide it. And that's, right. That's just not healthy. And I think he's a great example of that. And you've been talking about the same thing. So you got two guys, two warriors who could stand beside anybody and fight any day who are both sending home the same message. So I hope that your words, the words of Tom and Georgie and so many other guys, hit home with the veterans who need to hear that.
Right, especially if you're talking to other combat veterans and you're saying something. Oh man, yeah, that's right. You know, this happened to me. You know, all of a sudden they'll open up. You know, you follow what I'm saying? It's like opening up a can and the fumes come out first before you get to the food. You know what I mean? And when you talk to somebody who's been through similar episodes, it right away, all of a sudden, they open up and back foot. Man, you're right. I remember that. And this happened to me. Did that happen to you? Yeah, man. It was like this, like that. Holy, you know, this is great. They say, this is great. You know, let's keep going. You know, that's what you got to do. You got to open up that can, man. Let the fumes out. Get to the food, you know, get to the main part of it. You know what I mean? And then it'll help. It will definitely help, you know?
I can't think of a better Veterans Day message for the show. You know, I think, John, we hit your documentary, we hit the book. And I think for Veterans Day, you know, I wanted to talk about the meaning of it for you, the relationship with your comrades. We got to such an important thing, which is always, you know, ways we can help our veterans, those who are struggling. These are all such important things. And John, you have such a great voice. And I think so many veterans, especially our guys who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, I was just talking to one earlier today and they always talk about, you know, what it's like when they get to talk with a Vietnam vet such as yourself. So you really are in such an important position. And I think you continue to use your voice so well. And I just want you to know how proud you, I know you make your family. As a friend, I couldn't be more proud of everything that you continue to do. So I just want to tell you to keep on doing it, my friend. You just, again, not everyone can communicate as well as you can, whether it's writing or speaking as you are now. You have a gift, and I really hope you continue to use it, my friend, because you're doing special things.
Thanks, Joe. I'll try.
Keep it up, my friend. And for anyone who wants to catch the documentary, I will include the link in the description box of this video so you can check that out. I also have a link where you can purchase a copy of The Last Goodbye, one of my favorite reads of the year. The holidays are coming up, so it certainly would make a great gift for anyone who wants some good reading. And John, I know you've got your show tomorrow where you've got a nice interview lined up. Where can people check that out?
Oh, it's on Code Media. Actually, we have our website now that they set up for me. It's the last goodbye -book.com. The last goodbye -book.com. And hopefully it'll be on there. And I have to find out the link. I'm not too sure what it is right now, but I'll find out. And I can also let you know.
That's the thing. John will send it to me and I will include that in the description as well. So anyone who wants to go and check that out will be able to as well. But John, thank you for making this such a special Veterans Day episode. I always really appreciate your time and just learning from you. Every time we speak, I feel like I've grown and I've gotten smarter and just learning everything you have to offer. So I know this is certainly, we have many more of these, and I keep saying, once things are finally opening back up more, we've got a big reunion thing planned where we're hopefully going to get a lot of the guys who've been on the show over the years and bring all of you together. I'd love all you guys to meet, and being able to do this in person, it's going to be even better. So my friend, I can't wait for that day.
Me too. Joey, I just want to say one thing. I just want to wish all the veterans out there, you know, a great and healthy and safe Veterans Day. You know, I'd like to say happy, but sometimes you can't say happy Veterans Day, because even though it's Veterans Day, it's still a memorial, because you always think of your friends, you know.
It is.
Okay, but God bless all of them. I really mean that. I love you guys all. I love you all, guys. Man.
God bless each and every one of you who have served this great nation. John, same to you. I hope you have a very safe and great day, thinking of all the buddies that you've served with. And I can never thank you enough for your service to our nation, as with all those who've served our nation. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, John, for being a part of the show. Stay tuned, and we will have more soon on This Is Why We Stand.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio. Powered by by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative, and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center. Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.